Praise be Jesus and Mary. Well, today we celebrate the feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will recall that twice during the liturgical year, there is a special remembrance of the Transfiguration of our Lord. Now, obviously today, the Feast of the Transfiguration, and also during Lent, the second Sunday of Lent, which is certainly fitting so as to present to the church, and to all the faithful, the divinity of Christ, prior to celebrating Holy Week, the Passion, Death of our Lord, so instilling in us that renewed confidence in our Lord, in his divine power, who can overcome all things. The Transfiguration of Jesus on Mount Tabor is a very significant event in our Lord's life. Actually, it took place just days after he had prophesied to his apostles of his impending passion and death, when he first made that known to them, that he would have to go to Jerusalem and there suffer at the hands of the leaders and be killed. On that same occasion, when our Lord Jesus made this prophecy about his future suffering and death, he also forewarned, commanded his disciples to take up their cross as well and follow him. That was the indispensable condition to be his disciple. Take up your cross each day and follow me. Their hearts were a bit troubled after hearing this, all this talk about the need to take up the cross, certainly a horrible image to them, especially at the time. The cross was nothing but a symbol of the Romans' most torturous way to put criminals to death. So it was just brought really unpleasant images to the apostles' minds and troubled them a bit. And all the more so our Lord telling them that they had to follow him along that path, to the cross that awaited him in Jerusalem. They had need of assurance, therefore. They had need of greater confidence and trust in our Lord. And that's what the Transfiguration was to accomplish, at least one of the things that it was intended to do for the sake of his apostles, to strengthen them so that they might be faithful, to our Lord, to the very end. And obviously for all disciples of all times, for ourselves included, the Transfiguration was also intended for us to learn from and be inspired from. Now, the Transfiguration was a strong, undeniable affirmation of Jesus' identity as the Son of God. First we have Moses and Elijah testifying to his authenticity as the Son of God, as he claimed to be. Moses and Elijah represent the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. So they appear at Jesus' side, indicating, as it were, the one for whom the chosen people had long awaited for and placed their hopes in. And there he is in person at last in the midst of his people. And then God the Father solemnly declares, this is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. We have God the Father himself testifying on the behalf of his Son that he is indeed, the divine Son, from all eternity. And our Lord, the Heavenly Father's voice came from that mysterious cloud, which is a symbolic of God the Holy Spirit, the special presence of the Holy Spirit. Something that is a constant in the Old Testament, the presence of God in the cloud. And then Jesus himself affirms his divinity, obviously, allowing a bit of his divine glory to escape from his person, as it were, as he is transfigured before the apostles, Peter, James, and John, representing the other apostles and all of us, irradiating them, with the light of his divine glory, brighter than the sun. The apostles could draw no other conclusion than this, that they were indeed followers of no mere man, but they were following God himself, God in the flesh, the God-man Jesus Christ. And therefore, they could place all their trust, their confidence, faith, hope in him, without limits, conditions, or terms of any kind whatsoever, no matter what might come their way, including the need to follow him along the way of the cross and join him on Mount Calvary. Jesus shows his disciples a glimpse of his divine glory, the glory he had with the Father from all eternity, being God, a glory that he intends to share, however, in part with all those who follow him, faithfully here on earth, with you and me, hopefully, to follow him to the very end, to share his glory. So Jesus transfigured in glory reminds each and every one of us of the one and only goal of our lives towards which we must ever aim, that is, nothing less than eternal glory in heaven, the one and only goal of our lives. Without this goal in view, we would be very quick to replace it with other goals in our lives, obviously incomparable to it, and we could even say infinitely beneath it in value, the infinite glory in heaven, or the mere nothings here on earth, the goals that are merely earthly. And as all things that are of the earth, they are passing, transitory, destined ultimately to the cosmic trash bin, we could say. And with this goal in view, however, we won't be easily led astray with these other nothings of the world. We won't be fooled and bedazzled by the trinkets of this world, power, popularity, possessions, or pleasure. And we won't be fooled by these insignificant goals that the world would have us dedicate our lives to, but only in the end to remain empty and miserable. So we must keep our eyes, our hearts focused on this one and only goal God has made us for, eternal glory in heaven. As St. Paul reminds us, we must seek the things above, not the things here below. Our lives must therefore be directed towards this goal. St. Thomas Aquinas, he gives us a good comparison on this regard. Just imagine an archer. Some of you might have experience in this, archery. Some of you may not, but anyway, we understand at least the what it's all about. The archer focuses his eyes keenly on the mark, the bullseye, for example, at a distance, and directs his bow and arrow, skillfully to it. Certainly the further away, the more skills involved to make it to the mark, and then releases the arrow, to make its way to the bullseye. If he's good, skillful, then the arrow will make it on the mark. In a similar way, with our own lives, our eyes must be directed, to the bullseye, the ultimate goal that we wish the arrow of our lives to land, to reach. But this would be impossible without seeing that bullseye, that mark, that goal, and in view, and directing our lives, our arrows, so to speak, accordingly. I think it's a pretty good analogy, comparison. But since most of us aren't archers and we haven't had any practical experience with this, another comparison might be more helpful, that of driving. And certainly maybe everyone here, more or less, has an experience of driving in cars, vans, automobiles of various kinds. So this comparison might hit more home. The whole point of a car, as you would agree, is to enable us to arrive quickly, conveniently, and comfortably, from point A to point B, to get to point B, from home to work, to school, to church, to the store, etc. The destination is our goal in mind when we step into the car. And without the goal, the destination, there would be no point in hopping into the car to begin with. And if no such goals or destinations existed at all, no need to move at all, you know, it would be better not to own a car. There would be no purpose to it. It would be better to be spared so many expenses, you know, that comes with owning a car these days. You know, the car payments, property taxes, which I think there might be in Connecticut nowadays, insurance and gas expenses that never end, you know, etc. But if we do have these goals, these destinations that we have and need to get to, then a car is wonderfully handy indeed, and arguably well worth all the expenses that come with it. In any case, to reach our goal or the destination, we must, of course, drive along the right road or roads that will ensure our arrival to point B, our destination, preferably without any detours, getting lost, wrong turns, etc. So get on the right road, the right path. And furthermore, we got to drive prudently, carefully, safely. And as you know, if you're a good driver, I trust all of you are, one of the most basic and simple ways to drive safely and avoid any unnecessary accidents is to keep your eyes on the road, right? It's very simple, but some people forget that. They're distracted, and before you know it, they learn the hard lesson to make sure they keep their eyes on the road. You know, it's so simple. And it's a no-brainer, therefore, that it's dangerous to drive while texting. Just a really crazy thing, certainly about as foolish as one can be, or driving when one is so dead tired as to be dozing off, you know, to sleep, you know, at the wheel, thus endangering one's own life and others as well. Certainly so highly imprudent. So keep your eyes on the road, and you will be acting wisely, prudently as a driver, and will reach your destination. All things considered, in normal cases, you will. So in a similar way, in the spiritual life, our eyes must have in view our goal or destination, that of reaching the glory of heaven. And I'm pretty sure your GPS won't help you, you know, on this destination, but you know, again, we do already know the way there, thankfully. Our Lord has indicated to us, he made it very clear when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Our Lord Jesus himself is the way, you know, to the glory of heaven. Therefore, if we stay very close to our Lord Jesus in our daily lives through prayer, you know, especially the prayer of the rosary, the beautiful, powerful prayer, a gospel prayer summarizing the life of Jesus, Mary, and praying it well, of course, pray it from the heart, pray it with devotion. You know, pray this prayer each day, hopefully, and other prayers that come from our hearts, together with the reading of sacred scripture, even only a little bit each day, and then being nourished by the sacraments, confession, Holy Communion, received devoutly and worthily. We will indeed already be sharing in part in the heavenly glory, you know, destined for us. Living in the state of grace and growing in divine grace, you know, is indeed already a share in heavenly glory, albeit imperfectly. It is, you could say, the seed of eternal glory, you know, and left uninhibited, without placing up obstacles to it, divine grace grows and grows. And like an acorn grows into the big oak tree, that is what it is for us, that seed that grows ultimately to the full-blown glory of heaven, the light of glory. Lumen Gloriae, St. Thomas Aquinas would refer to it as the beatific vision, to be in God's presence, to see him face to face in that for all eternity. And when this brief life of ours comes to an end, we will be ready to enjoy, in greater part, definitively, eternally, the glory of heaven. So, dear brothers and sisters, keep your eyes on the road, spiritually speaking. Keep your eyes on the destination God has made for you, the one and only goal of your lives, the kingdom of heaven. Praise be Jesus and Mary. No. Yeah.